What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you're thinking about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcast to get started right now. Now time for a very, I don't know what Soul Hackers is about, so we're going to go with a very Wang edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to just rip off Doom Eternal and pass on by. Wait, is that what I wanted to say? I am Corey. I am joined by the weeb himself, Mr. Soul Hacker himself. How do you hack a soul, Basher?
You have to be an agent of Ion. And then after the person dies, you have to create a link with them. In which case, you experience some of their deepest, darkest memories. And then you give them an option to live again. And then your soul has been hacked.
Uh-huh.
Soul Hackers.
All right, that's our
team.
Episode. If that sounds interesting to you, go play that. No, we are here to talk about Shadow Warrior 3 Definitive Edition and Soul Hackers 2. Dual episode for you. Basher played Soul Hackers. I played Shadow Warrior 3. And in true weeb tradition, you couldn't get me to touch this with a 1,000-foot pole. But before that, did you know that you can let us know what you think about Soul Hackers 2? Or Shadow Warrior 3, or just send us a question, something you want to know about us. You want to know my favorite food. I mean, it kind of sounds like you're trying to date me, but that's okay. I'll tell you anyway, 574-651-9256. You can shoot a text message, you can shoot a voicemail, whichever your heart desires. Basher's going to start this one off with Soul Hackers 2. Here are the details. This is developed by Atlus, published by Sega. Playable on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. Does have Xbox Series X and S support, as well as smart delivery, which means you're going to get cross saves. You're going to get cross-save achievements as well. And you're going to get Xbox Series X and S support, which I believe in this case is just higher resolution. I couldn't find anything on frame rate, so be that what it is. Amidst the glimmer of neon lights, technology advancement causes humans to be consumed by commercial convenience. In the shadows, a war between the Yatagarusa and the Phantom Society is brewing.
Nailed it.
Devil summoners who harness the otherworldly powers of demons. Existing in the secrecy of humanity's data, a digital hive mind has evolved into sentience? Ion. Observing humankind from afar. That was a really weird sentence.
I feel like a lot of these are really weirdly worded.
I'm assuming like a lot of these are just like run through Google Translate, because Atlas is not American, right?
No.
Yeah, neither is Sega, so... Ion calculates the world-ending disaster is imminent and creates two agents to combat against it, Ringo and Fugue. Together, those agents of Ion must investigate and prevent a butterfly effect that will lead to the end of the world. Finally, how long to beat? We're clocking in at 31 hours for the main story and 66 for completionist. Soul Hackers 2, let's, how about you talk about it?
In preparation for Creed 3, Michael B. Jordan had Jonathan Winters. Is that his name?
Why does that not sound right? But maybe it is. Jonathan is right, but Winters doesn't
What's
sound right.
What's his last name?
Maybe it is Winters.
Anyway, he had Jonathan prepare for Creed, not just physically.
Majors.
There we go. Jonathan Majors. Not just physically, but also he had him watch some anime, and hearing you try to read and understand what the hell is going on in Soul Hackers is, I would say Jonathan got it down pretty well. You're still struggling over there. It's it's funny how they're all kind of the same, especially this game in particular. Soul Hackers 2, for a lot of people, came out of maybe nowhere, considering the first Soul Hackers wasn't even just called Soul Hackers. It's part of the, I think, a Devil Summoner series back in the day. So this came, I think it came out like back in 1998 or 9 or something. Like it's super, this is super old series there. And so it was kind of new for them to just kind of bring it back. And it's changed a bunch, I feel like, from when I last
also played to put
it.
Like, out of all the Japanese games to put on Xbox, why this one?
Because it is just Persona.
Okay.
And it's, and they clearly have put on a bunch of Persona games, and Soul Hackers 2 is just more Persona. And that's good or bad, depending on if you're a fan. This particular series has come back, and it's taken on the form of your kind of standard Megami Tensei battle system, where you have your 4v x amount of enemies, and all the enemies are the same enemies that are in the Megami Tensei series. You have all your favorites, you have your Lilith and your everything. It's all the demons that you've grown to love and know, all here. And it has the same systems of recruiting demons. However, this time you have to find them and speak to them on the battlefield. You can still fuse demons to create stronger and new demons while retaining and forgetting certain spells and whatnot. It's not unlike any other game in the larger Megami Tensei series. And again, that's for better or for worse. For me, it's kind of for worse.
Why? Like, if all those games are the same, wouldn't you want it to be different?
I think the average fan would. I think you're more... And I always say that with any series in general, actually. Like, they don't want much change. When you bring back something that is 15 years old, I really wanted it to not be like the last game I played that actually is totally unrelated to this series. Soul Hackers, like I said, is a sequel to Devil Summoner Soul Hackers. It plays and feels more like it's a sequel or a spinoff to Persona 5. And I mean, that game is still pretty fresh in my mind. So to play a to play another Alice game and it's the same game? I mean, maybe if it was years later and I needed me a quick Atlas fix, but at this point, I'm just kind of like, you just dropped all the Persona games. If you play all the Persona games and then you play Soul Hackers 2, it's a pretty quick burnout.
Yeah, and like, I guess that doesn't surprise me too much, because I think you said it before of just like, Atlas knows their fan base and the fans of these games really like these games. But it sounds like this isn't going to be the one that's going to suddenly like...
I don't think so. I mean, like, even the story wise, I mean, you start off with Ringo and Fig, who are like I said, they're at the top. They're pretty much these manifestations of Ion. They're supposed to, they're sort of these kind of like AI, but given human form, and their job is to stop the end of the world. And that's sort of a common theme with the Megami Tensei games in general. I mean, me and Snaps always joke, like, whenever there's a new Shin Megami Tensei game, it's like, all right, so we're going to level up and defeat God again. All right, cool, because that's essentially what you do. You just keep fighting God over and over again, and this is not unlike that, and where it's just kind of rinsing and reusing a lot of the old standard plot lines of an Atlas game, of a Persona game, of a Megami Tensei game.
So I guess, like, why do you? I'm just more curious now. So did you play the original?
Years ago, yeah.
So like, did it end on like a cliffhanger or something? That were people like itching for this one?
I don't think so. I think this came out of nowhere for the most part. Huh. I mean,
super strange.
It still has that. It has the feel of those games, but I think it lacks that style of it. I mean, it lacks the style in the. Like, even the music is just not as good. Like, I think I remember telling you, like, you don't even need to play the Persona games, just the soundtrack. The soundtrack alone slaps. And Soul Hackers 2 is missing that. It's missing some of that style that Persona has. It's missing some of that music that it has. This really seems like a more low budget spinoff. And it's just not a lot of meat on the bones in this one. Especially when, because I'm a fan of the battle system a lot, and it's a real great rock paper scissors battle system that's across all the games. And once you get it down in one game, it's kind of easy to get it down in other games. That's still here, but the way it's presented is much more bland. The dungeon system in this game takes the form of a soul matrix. So if you want to get to know your, again, it's Persona, so you want to develop bonds with your teammates, therefore they give you more bonuses, more power-ups, more powers, more etc. And you do that by going into the soul matrix and therefore kind of going through their soul, if you will. The soul matrix looks like just this bland grid of gray on top of gray on top of gray. And it's just no style to it whatsoever. And on top of that, the music isn't slapping nearly as hard. And it just really just seems like a low effort attempt at a Persona-like game.
I guess it's just kind of weird considering they make Persona, you know, like it's, I'm confused by it, but it sounds like even as a Persona fan, you can't recommend it kind of thing.
Yeah, this is definitely not their best foot forward, and it's definitely not something I would say if you're looking to get into this, to the larger Megami Tensei series. This is one, sadly, I'm just like, it just doesn't hit. Like, even the first one is different enough, and it came out long enough ago to where it's, I think it's worth picking up and just kind of going through it. Whereas, like, playing this after playing a Persona proper, especially, it's lackluster.
Hmm. bummer, but again, just go play Persona. And that's on Game Pass, right?
I agree. Yeah, just play Persona. And may I might actually play through one of those just so we could talk about it. But yeah, like it's a play Persona. It's like, a much better experience.
I know those are the ones, and we've had this discussion too of just like pick one and see how it goes for you. And I've debated it, but there's just this year in gaming, man, it's crazy. There's so much stuff coming out, like, and I'm behind and all that. So anyways, because of that, you couldn't convince me to play this. I played Shadow Warrior 3 Definitive Edition.
Is this same one that I played years ago?
When you say years ago, like,
I'm talking maybe 3-4.
No, so because I believe Shadow Warrior 2 came out in like 2018, if I remember correctly. So I don't know what the actual release date or what the difference between Shadow Warrior 3 versus Definitive Edition is. Fact checking on my live air here. Yeah, I can't even get like a good answer on what that is. So it includes the base game, OST edition, new weapon skins. So when did the original game come out? Came out on, let's see, 1st, 2022. Okay, so the Definitive Edition appears to be the next gen version. PS5 and Xbox Series X and S versions. So it seems like it's just a next gen update, basically. So because I didn't play the original Shadow Warrior 3, and that was because I actually played Shadow Warrior 2 on PC and I really didn't like it. I've actually played the original Shadow Warrior, and I played that reboot that they did on Xbox One and PS4, and I thought it was pretty decent. Like, it wasn't amazing by any means, but it was a great sort of throwback.
You really didn't like games. Shadow Warrior 2?
I did not like Shadow Warrior 2 at all. Like, I know why people did, but like, it almost takes that Darksiders approach of like each game kind of is its own little thing. And that original Shadow Warrior was more like a callback to those old school shooters, like your classic Dooms and the classic Shadow Warrior, or, you know, a lot of those Ion Storm games style. Whereas Shadow Warrior 2 was like a weird, like, looter shooter. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it just didn't hit at the right time for me. I did try playing it on console, and that console version was kind of rough, but I assumed the PC version was better, but at the same time, I don't know if I knew that. And it was just one that, like, I played it, and I just didn't, it just did not hit with me the way that the other one did.
Yeah, it definitely hit with me. I was a fan of Shadow Warrior 2.
And I think most people were, but I don't know, like, I didn't go to that for its, like, looter shooter style. And granted, I am basing that off of the very little that I played. So I don't even know if that's even a focus of it, but I know that it was significantly different than that first one. So I'm curious. So what did you like about the second one?
I liked just the overall movement and how quick and the fast pace it was. The looter shooter mechanic wasn't great, but it was also, it didn't distract as much as it distracted from certain aspects. I can get through it, get past it.
So I'm gonna look up a video here real quick of just Shadow Warrior 2 as well. I'm talking about it. Because like I said, maybe I just missed the boat on that one.
And then the sword play was, I mean, like, again, I don't like melee combat in a first person shooter, but I mean, their sword mechanics was over the top nonsense. And I was a fan of it. It was nice and bloody, and it wasn't as visceral as I would like it, like in terms of like connecting with enemies. But the enemies reacted to like those shotguns and those bullets pretty well, I remember.
And that's where, like, so that first game was rough in terms of like that stuff. Like, it worked, but it was like a $30 game. You know, it was not a full price title, so, you know, you kind of expected it to be a little wonky. It was kind of like in that Serious Sam territory, not the bad one, you know, of gameplay. And so I didn't really know what to expect with Shadow Warrior 3, but what you get is like, it's kind of like a Doom Eternal meets Shadow Warriors thing. And I don't, I like it, but I people seem to not like it, and I didn't discover that until after I played it, kind of thing. But I was kind of into it. Like, it's kind of weird. So you've obviously got your sword play and you've got your gun play, and it's not very long. It's only about a 5 to 6 hour game, and you start out and you just have a sword and a pistol, and you just kind of go from there, and you sort of build on it the exact same way you do in Doom Eternal, where there's glory kills. However, they are far harder to do. You are not getting health and ammo from your glory kills. Like, basically, if you kill somebody with a sword, you get ammo. If you kill them with your gun, you get health. And so it's this 6 hour sort of romp to where about every 20 to 30 minutes you're being introduced to a new enemy, and then you get a new gun, and then eventually at the end you've got your full arsenal. You know, you've got your rocket launcher, you've got your grenade launcher, you've got your sword, and then eventually you can power up your sword with fire mechanics or electric mechanics, and then you get your rail gun, and then you get your machine gun. So, like, it doesn't do anything in terms of, like, first person shooters, like anything that you would say that's brand new, except that it takes some of the Doom Eternal mechanics and flips them on their head. And I think kind of the coolest thing that they do is that they kind of give the glory kills meaning, and that you don't do them that often. You probably only do them about once or twice every kind of, that's probably not fair. Probably like 4 or 5 times per level. And when you do that, though, if you kill a higher up enemy, you actually get a weapon for them, like from a limited time. So, like, there's an instance, I don't know the names of any of the weapons, but there's this one that is it's like a big butcher looking thing, and he carries around this big axe, basically. And when you kill him, you take his axe, and then for about 30 seconds, every time you press the attack button, you do like a really powerful attack that kind of shakes the ground around you. And it's like a 30 second, like, berserker mode, basically.
I'm not a fan of that.
There's another one to where they're kind of looks like not a xylophone. What are those things called? What does Steve Urkel play? What's that thing called?
Accordion?
Accordion, yeah. They're like, there's those Chinese accordion looking things, those like lanterns, Chinese lanterns. One of the enemies looks exactly like that. When you kill it, you get a machine gun that shoots little rockets out, basically. And it looks like fireworks kind of thing, but they're very devastating. And then, so every single of those higher up enemies, like, there's one of them that's really cool. Like, it basically has like this cord, and then you basically hop in and you rip out the cord, and when you throw it, it basically pulls everything in kind of like a black hole, and it kind of just destroys everything in that moment. So, like, whenever you do one of those glory kills and you get those weapons, you get like 30 seconds of being awesome. And that's really cool. And that's a really unique way to sort of turn, you know, the biggest criticism about the glory kills in something like Doom Eternal is that I'm doing them too often and you're forcing me to do them. They're not required here by any means. You can still get through the game without using them. You get your armor and your ammo through just regular killing, and those are kind of your bonuses. So it sort of fixes that issue that people have with Doom Eternal. But again, it's clearly pulling from that. I'm not just saying that because I'm a Doom Eternal fan, but it's very clearly pulling from that.
I mean, I think it's been doing it even, I mean, the glory, I mean, it's been, I think since Shadow Warriors 2 has been doing that. I mean, in a sense that the over the top, get into the action, stay into the action, and just balls to the walls, just mayhem. I think it's an aspect of the game that I liked. And then, question: how is the humor in this one? Because it's some ridiculous humor, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so it's still there. Wang is still doing his one-liners. He's still doing the making the bad jokes, all that fun stuff. He's not as talkative as he was in the first one, from my recollection, which is probably a good thing, honestly. There's only so many Wang jokes that you can make before it gets a little redundant. But the story is pretty funny. Like, it doesn't take itself seriously. That first game kind of took itself a little too seriously, but this one is far more just like, it knows what it is. It knows it's being ridiculous. The whole game, you're kind of chasing this giant dragon, and it's very over the top. And your moment to moment gameplay is basically, it's got a little bit of that Ghost Runner vibe to where you're running on walls and you're doing some platforming and you're trying to nail jumps and dashes, and then you're going to a small arena, kind of rinse and repeat. It's nothing too flashy. It's not going to change the world in terms of longevity, but because it's only a 5 to 6 hour game, and you're constantly either coming against new enemies or getting new weapons or upgrading your weapons, like, it feels fresh from start to finish in that aspect of, you're not just doing the same thing, but you're able to mix it up a little bit. And that was kind of my problem with the first one, was is like it was a little bit longer, and by the end it's like you didn't really have your goal didn't really change, and you weren't getting upgrades fast enough to make the game feel different. And then like the looter shooter aspect is completely gone. There's none of that in here at all. You're not changing weapons, you're not equipping buffs or whatever.
I'm not mad they tried it. I think it's an upgrade or a better mechanic to kill something and just get its upgrade for a while.
Yeah, it's, I didn't get terribly far into Shadow Warrior 2. It was only about 2 or 3 hours, but I just, something about the way that they did it, I was just like, I don't need this. I do not need this in this game, kind of thing. Maybe it got better along the way. Maybe it just hit at the wrong time for me. But the fact that all that stuff was, it was just gone, I couldn't be happier, but I was completely fine with it. I was fine with it just being more straightforward about the action being over the top and having fun with it. It's not, like I said, but it's not a 10 out of 10. It's a solid 8 out of 10 style, to where it knows exactly what it is. It doesn't overstay its welcome. And for the most part, it runs pretty well. There is a performance mode or a fidelity mode. Each one runs fine. You're probably going to want to go to performance mode. The 30 frames is okay, but 60 frames is just, with the game that goes this fast, you definitely want to, prioritize that feel of the gameplay versus how pretty it is. Honestly, you're moving so fast, you're not paying attention to the environment that much, if that makes sense. So I don't really have much criticism to it, other than like, it's got that Wolfenstein 2 problem of sometimes you just can't tell when you're being hit, and there's some of those bigger enemies. Yeah,
there's a lot going on at certain times. It was before anyway, and you didn't realize you were getting hit. And then there's so many colors and stuff on the screen where there were even times where I would question if my shots were connecting, like from certain distances, just because everything just kind of turns into a light show, I feel like, at some point.
Yeah, it can kind of get that way, because you're usually, like, when you're near the end of a level, it will just kind of, like, I shouldn't say dump, but it'll start throwing the heavier enemies at you consistently. And some of them are, rushed down. Some of them are more distance-based, where they're going to try to pick you off. And when you've got, like, literally 10 of those at you, like, it can be really hard to sort of get your footing. You end up sort of piggybacking on a couple different weapons. And this is not really a criticism, but more of an observation of like, you can do the thing in the original Doom of where it's like, I've got these three weapons that I really like. I'm going to kind of stick to these weapons. And so like the railgun, the shotgun, and the grenade launcher were kind of my three that I rotated between. I didn't really use the machine guns that much. I didn't really use the pistol that much. Like, those were the guns that I liked, and I would kind of rotate between them depending on what I was fighting. And it's got that flow to it, but it doesn't force you to play the game certain ways. So like, you can kind of get that repetitiveness. If you're looking for the gameplay to evolve through leveling up and stuff, it doesn't really do that. Like the shotgun, for instance, becomes like a full auto shotgun. That's really the level process of it. The grenade launcher becomes a better grenade launcher. You're not doing anything that's going to drastically change the gameplay up, but you are going to feel more powerful. Again, I think if it was any longer, I would probably have a lot more issues with it, but I think the shorter runtime on this one actually really helps.
That's what I liked
at the same time.
That's what I liked about 2 a lot. I got in, I got out, and it was enough Wong for those few hours.
Right. And it's not reinventing the wheel by any means, but at the same time, like, I don't think it has to. It doesn't look incredible. Like, you're not going to, like, oh man, like, yeah, check this game out, but it's very solid. That's its best thing and its weakest part, is like it's good, not great. But for a game that I didn't really, again, after I didn't like the second one at all, I was just like, all right, let's see what this is about. Didn't anticipate what I got, and I had a good time with it. And so I think I would be on the side of, yeah, I think you should check it out. Like, 'cause you don't really need to play the second one. Like, the story of Shadow Warrior is not going to,
Yeah, you need the full Wong experience. I disagree. Start from the beginning. Get all the Wong you can.
you can get enough Wang and Wong in this game for everybody. But yeah, it's interesting to see that they stuck with this one, that Flying Wild Hog did, because like that original Shadow Warrior came out on, it was like 2013 or something. So like 10 years, you know, like 10 years in the making. Who would have thought we'd be at Shadow Warrior 3? You know, I hope it does well for them kind of thing, because they're fun games, but it'd be interesting to see where they go with it kind of thing. But yeah, it's a cool game. Check it out. It's not going to blow your mind, but it's way more solid than I anticipated. And especially if you like the second one, which it sounds like you did, it might be worth checking out. But then again, like I said, some people really don't like it, and I can't really put my finger on why. And maybe it is because it is maybe just a departure from that second game. But it seems like if that second one worked so well and people liked it, I feel like they would have stuck with it. So I guess I'm kind of confused.
I mean, the looter shooter part was just not well implemented. So, I mean, if enough people don't like it, then just by taking that out, I feel like you've made a better game.
But then I guess I don't understand what people's issue is with this one.
People don't like this one?
It's not that they don't like it. It's just like they're like, it's fine. Whereas a lot of people that like the second one, I guess I just don't. The second one to me, like it was held back by those things. And if those things aren't here anymore, then theoretically, like I just feel like the core gameplay of the second one isn't drastically different than this one. So I don't, I'm struggling to find where the disconnect is, but didn't play that one. So it's not, I don't say it's not kosher, but like, it's hard for me to comment, I guess, for that reason. So. But yeah, it's cool. Check it out. Not long at all. So I can comment and say that the pizza version is totally fine. I have no issues with it. And the console version, play in performance mode, it's pretty good too. So, but there you go. That is your dual episode for Soul Hackers 2 and Shadow Warrior 3 Definitive Edition. Coming up, I don't know. I'm going to be playing JoJo's Bizarre...
We will be playing that. Yeah.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Yeah. I'm All-Star Battle R. I'm going to be playing that to talk about it with you. I'm curious enough that I want to check it out. But beyond that, I don't know. We've kind of blown through a lot of games this past couple of weeks to kind of catch up on the stuff that we missed. But
yeah, did we? Yeah. I guess we did kind of a clean house. I got nothing left right now.
Yeah, I can't even, like, if I were to, like, go to the, like, the new stuff, like, I want to check out that Hot Wheels game, because apparently it's actually pretty decent, but, like, I'm not going to play Mountain Blade, not because I don't, you know, I'm just not, like, I don't have 86,000 hours.
Just not.
I'm not going to play Madden 23. Like, are you going to play Madden 23?
I play Madden 19. I think it's the same thing.
It very well could be. It might even be better. Who knows? What I understand, those games kind of like fell off the face of the earth. Like they haven't been good for a while.
Oh no, I can attest to that as an NFL 2K fan. It has not been good for many, many, many years.
Was that the first person one?
Yeah, they had first person mode, which was hilarious actually.
Was it good? Like, was the first person mode good?
It was fun. It was not good, but it was fun.
Okay.
If you had it, you should play it. It was fun.
I've actually never played that game, but that'd be one that, like, I would download a device that rhymes with Shmemulator and just to see what the hype's about kind of thing. Because I know people that, like, still stand by that game and say, like, it totally holds up.
It was the peak football game ever made in terms of, quote-unquote, simulation anyway, to the point where years later, like 4 or 5 years later, Madden was... just now implementing features that game had. It's ridiculous.
Wasn't it also like $20 or something?
Yep.
Yeah.
They 2K destroyed the market with that, and then the NFL and EA was like, never again. Just never again.
How dare you? How dare you even attempt to destroy our legacy? So that'd be interesting. But yeah, like as I'm scrolling through like the all games, you're like, I don't even know what we would play next. So we're gonna have to do some digging. Find some games and go from there. Obviously, they're going to be adding more games going forward, but
I think they stopped adding games. Actually.
It's done. Yeah, this is done. Get. Starfield will not be coming out. They canceled it, actually. Instead, they're going to do Killer Instinct. They're going all in on Killer Instinct.
All right.
They're canceling Halo. Perfect Dark will come out. Fable will not.
It should cancel Halo, actually. Like, it's,
wow.
It's kind of done there.
Harsh. But there you go. Yeah, so when it comes to the future, we don't know. But we will see you soon. Right. That's going to do it for this episode. Oh, you know what? That Minecraft game is coming out. And that game actually looks kind of cool.
What
Minecraft Legends?
Is that the... Wait.
It's RTS.
RTS. You don't like RTSs.
Is it an RTS? It's weird. It's like a strategy game, though.
It
looks interesting. Yeah. I don't think that... I think that's out in April, though. So there's some stuff coming. But in terms of right now, we don't know. But all right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with something.
Something. Good day, sirs.